The Jason and Alexis podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sears Imported Autos, serving four generations of happy, returning customers.
Sears Imported Autos is just 10 minutes west of downtown on 394 in Minnetonka. More information at searsimports.com.
You know what drives me crazy?
Two-hour themed Zoom meetings with our boss.
A phone call from B. Arthur?
No, buying something pre-owned and having it break in like 2 days.
That's the worst!
It is, but you know what? If you're buying a pre-owned car, get it from Sears Imported Autos. And you won't have that problem, believe me.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. They have an amazing selection of certified pre-owned cars that are vetted. Not just checked, they are vetted.
Wow, that sounds very dramatic and serious.
Well, it is. Sears takes it very seriously, and they back it up with extensive warranty coverage, which equals peace of mind. You know you're buying a quality car, and you know you won't have to worry about something happening, and I love that.
But I don't want to leave the house.
Oh, I hear you. And a lot of people don't want to leave the house. That's why you can browse and even complete the whole car purchasing process online. Like, from your couch. You can do it all at searsimports.com. Again, searsimports.com. And you can also configure your dream car, and then they'll find it, and even if you want, bring it to your door.
How about financing? Because I assume I have to pay for the car?
Yes, Lex, you do. Sears has so many financing options, and their staff makes that part of it so easy and painless. I was amazed when I bought my car there recently, back in November. The financing portion, which I usually dread, took, and I timed this, 6 minutes, no joke. I laughed. I was like, what? It's one of the things I remember most from that glorious day, and it's one of the many reasons why Sears Imported Autos won best of the best from Mercedes in 2018 and 2019. And they've been serving four generations of returning happy customers for over 55 years. That is remarkable.
Sears Imported Autos, 10 minutes from downtown Minneapolis on 394.
For more information or to see their huge inventory, just go to searsimports.com.
It's Friday. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Finally, Dawn, it's Friday.
Yes.
And we can say that as much as we want today because Jason and Kenny both off today.
Yep, they are. So it's just us Goyles.
Just the Goyles.
Yeah.
It's a girls' time.
Yeah. And the next hour with the Dawn and Steve show, Steve's still on vacation, so it's going to be Donna, Brittany, and I. So the first male to join my talk this morning will be Grant. If you're missing...
At 10,
wait for Grant.
All right. Perfect. See?
Yes.
It's one of those Fridays, everyone. It's Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1. We were just talking about Drag Race, and you're going back to watch the earlier seasons, which is just a trip in and of itself, just the way everything changed. I think they get snarkier and more critical as the seasons go on. So I'm curious to see if you feel that way, too. As you watch, but I think this would be really fun since they haven't been spoiled for you, right? You have no idea who the
winners
are.
I don't know. That's why I was like, congratulations. I know it's 12 years later, but to Bebe Monet or
yes.
Binet.
I think it's Binet.
Yeah. From Minneapolis was the first winner.
Yes.
Of Drag Race Season 1 from our city.
Yes.
Congrats. I wonder what she's doing now.
Huh, yeah.
Yeah,
Google that and we'll see.
Stalk that.
I know, stalk her and see what's going on.
All right.
But what I was thinking is, as you were watching, since none of them have been spoiled for you.
Right.
To keep a little journal. Okay, it's not even that. It's just like a list.
Okay.
So after the first episode of a new season that you watch, who has the best first impression for you? Who do you think is going to win? And then do that, maybe not every episode, but you know, maybe every other episode. You can say, okay, I think so-and-so is going to win. And let's see how you do.
Okay, good. So after every first episode or after every episode?
Well, definitely the first one, and then maybe you can do every other one.
Okay.
I mean, when you remember kind of thing.
See, I already make a chart because there are too many girls, and I already list them out. I list, I will say who they are, what their drag name is, where they're from, and their age for some reason, because they do bring that kind of stuff up. Like, well, you're just an old queen, and they're like 31.
I know. I'm thinking,
like, what? But yeah, that's a great suggestion. I'll start doing that because I'm only on season two. I'm like final four of season two.
Nice. Yeah, we'll see how you do, because you did pick Sasha Velour to win.
I wanted
Shea Coulee that year to win.
Yes.
Which I think she did go back and win an All-Star one. So that's...
Yeah. So the season I'm watching now, Jujubee is on.
Oh, I love her Filipina. So much.
She's hilarious. So funny. And then I really got to love in the first season Angina as well.
Oh,
she's
yes.
fantastic. Oh.
And then she revealed... She's bald, right?
Yeah.
She's bald.
Yep. She's bald, yes. And she was on All Stars and didn't make it that far.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of these people you're going to be seeing for the second time, but after seeing them in an All-Star.
But actually for the first time. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, fun. It's been so long since I've seen them. It's really cool to hear some of these names again.
Yes.
And what, okay, we play this all the time, right?
Yeah.
What does this mean on the grid?
Yeah.
You have in this segment, I learned something about Karen.
Okay.
And I think Karen, of course, is the Karen that we hear about now.
Yeah.
The whiner, complainer, racist, I guess. I don't know. How else would we describe a Karen?
Exactly.
But that's not who you're talking about.
That's not who I'm talking about. And it has to do with my vaccination. So I'm filling out paperwork for my vaccination. And it has you list whether you're a member of a Native American tribe or a certain ethnicity. And it was a list. And it said Dakota, Ojibwe, Asian Indian, Chinese, Filipino, Hmong, Karen, Korean, Lao. And I went, Karen? What? Karen? Who is Karen? What is Karen?
She's calling the police on a black person?
So I was like, there is an ethnicity that is Karen. So I looked it up, and this is no disrespect in this, but I learned something that the Karen are an ethnic group from Burma, Myanmar, many of whom fled Burma due to religious and ethnic persecution by the government. 140,000 refugees from Burma, mostly Karen, are living in refugee camps in Thailand, some for as many as 20 years. So I did not know that there was an ethnic group called the Karen.
I didn't either.
And I'm just like, wow, that's fascinating. You know, and I wonder if they have the same internet that we do, and they see all the stories about this Karen, that Karen, and they're confused. They're like, wait a minute.
That's not me.
There are other Karens outside of our Karens that are in the U.S. doing terrible things. They're misrepresenting the Karen ethnic group.
Yes. I still feel bad for Karens.
Yeah, I do too. People Karens. That are named Karen, I know. But very interesting. So that's
that
a little,
is.
You know, oh, it's just like, so fascinating. I wish I could travel the world.
So it's like the Burmese and then the refugees from Burma.
Yes.
That they're the Karens.
Yeah, and they live mostly in Thailand.
Nice. Yeah, I do hope to travel again soon.
Oh my God.
I hear you. We were going to go to the Olympics in Tokyo.
Oh my gosh.
Because Zendai, you know, my son's named after Zendai. He lives there. He's my husband's friend. Played baseball with each other in college. He lives there, so in Tokyo. So we thought, that would be great. We'd see him. Zendai can meet Zendai, and this will be great.
Oh, I can't wait until Zendai meets Zendai, though.
Well, yeah, one day.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yes. Now, let's get back to Zendai. He needs friends. Why?
He needs human friends right now because Don, he thinks he's a dog. And it is really funny to see how he's picked up some of the mannerisms from our two dogs.
Oh,
so we have a black
God.
Lab, Packy, and then we have a mountain cur who's a hound dog. Think Old Yeller.
Yes.
So it looks
so
like
cute.
A little smaller lab, Ricky. And they're 10 and 11 years old.
Yeah.
Sometimes cranky and really not patient with him. The black lab lets him crawl on him and pet him and do all the things.
But Ricky's like, keep your distance sometimes.
Yeah, he's that wild dog who's like, uh-uh, stay away, I'm the baby. So it's kind of funny to see the different things that he's picked up. So the other day, this is last weekend, So they're really attached to me, and I don't know, that's happened since I got pregnant.
The dogs?
With Zen. The dogs have just, they cling on me.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's really sweet, but can be a little bit like, whoa, because I trip on them sometimes. And
do you think they're jealous, or they're just being protective?
Maybe a little both.
Okay.
Probably both.
Yeah.
Well,
so they knew when you were pregnant, like they sensed it.
They were right on me. I would take a nap.
Yeah.
My long mammoth naps.
Yeah, I do that too.
And then they would each be on each side of me.
You?
Which they didn't do that before. Maybe there would be one or we'd snuggle a little bit, but then they'd go and
that
do their own
so
thing.
That is so bizarre.
Isn't
I love
that weird?
It though.
Yeah, they sense it and then it's just been that way since.
Okay.
So
maybe you're just the pack leader now. They know for sure. Because you have a baby.
That's true. And I'm in a house of wieners.
Yes.
Because the dogs are boys and the boys are boys. So maybe that's part of it.
So Zen, what has he been doing?
So they cling to me. And when I'm sitting at the table, they'll be on the floor laying down. And Zen was running around because he's walking now and it's pretty crazy. And I got up to get something in the fridge. And I look back and there's Zen laying on the floor, kind of on his side, with his legs crossed, exactly like Packy, the black lab.
Oh, my God.
And he's laying just right next to him, staring at him, just looking with his hand on his little paw there.
Yeah, his paw.
And he's just laying there, copying the dogs, how they're laying on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Then this is another thing that we've noticed for the past few weeks. The mailman will come, and maybe there's a package that comes, has to walk it up the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs, of course, bark because they are protective, and this weird person's coming up to the house.
Right.
So they're at the window, they're barking. All of a sudden, Zen starts running up to the window and starts screaming.
Oh, my God.
His little barks.
Yeah.
So he's there watching the dogs, and they do that, so he does.
Well, at least he's not barking. I mean,
well, I don't know what's better, if he's like barking or just screaming at the top of his lungs.
That's annoying.
His bark.
So you think, when did he start doing that? Did you think he was hurt or something was wrong?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought,
you were
oh my God, what's happening?
On?
Yeah, but then I look over, he's screaming and smiling and right up in the middle between the dogs, just like looking at the mailman like, don't you better drop that package and walk away.
What does the mailman think? Did you even see his face or anything? He's probably so laughing so hard.
Oh, I hope so. I hope that and not terrified because, you know, their barks are loud. And luckily, he just dropped it off by the downstairs door.
Sure.
So he's not coming up to the front door. But
oh, my God.
So that's happening. And then the last thing, because at first I thought, well, that's just a few things, you know. There's more, girl. Yes. So he likes to, you know, has his little treats and stuff. And the dogs are, of course, right there. Like, if you drop anything, I'm there.
Yeah.
So he'll drop food on the floor for the dogs. Now we keep them separated because we don't want them to have all these extra treats, right?
Yeah.
So he started throwing his snacks on the ground and then eating off the ground.
Oh, my God.
Because that's what the dogs do.
The dogs eat off the ground. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is really funny.
He needs friends.
He does need friends. Does he Zoom any babies?
He does. And, well, my nephews and niece.
Yeah.
He sees them a lot. And things will be changing. Anhel's vaccinated. I'll be getting vaccinated soon. So thank goodness. Hopefully I'll be able to handle other humans. And that's good. And like in the driveway, we've had a few, you know, just from a distance type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's good. But I think that once he meets other kids, he's just going to accelerate to the point where you're like, who is this? It's not a baby no more.
Oh, my gosh. Dog life is over. Oh,
yeah.
God. Are you sad? He's growing up so fast. I can't even believe he's walking now.
Yeah, he is running is really what he's doing, Dawn.
He's already running?
Yeah, and he's figured out the remote and taking things apart. So there's all of that.
It's a different world when they start walking. It's just like you, like whenever they're tiny infants, you have to hold them up and prop them up because they can't hold themselves up. So you have that stress of not dropping them. Then after they can sit up by themselves and kind of like roll around, you get a little break. But then when they start running and walking, it's just a whole new, it's like just, I always
say, if
he
can reach things,
until they're like, it does like 25, it's just one stage to the next.
Yes, and it
just grows.
The acceleration of it too. It's all of a sudden like, whoa, you want to hold your bottle by yourself? What?
You're like, I want to do that.
Yeah, oh. But then sometimes I'm like, here's your bottle. Yeah. Drink it. Okay, yeah. You did good. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
And Megan tweeted us too. She said her mom watched her. She says, my mom watched my daughter when she was young. Uh-huh. So her siblings were her parents' boxer. Uh-huh. And she said that her kid would bark at cars when they pulled into the driveway because that's what the dogs did. That's exactly what Zen's doing.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, he'll grow out of it. But it is pretty funny to see.
Cause that's hilarious.
The only interaction, you know, no siblings.
Oh,
so he's just like, this is what the dogs do, so I'm going to do it, too.
Oh, my gosh. Alexis, that's so cute.
Oh, so if you have a baby or if you have any fun stories, please tweet us
yes!
at Dawn at Dark, at Lex and the Cities.
We'd
or
love
you
to
can
hear
email
them.
The show. Yes, we'd love to hear and see what things that your kid picked up from your animals.
Yes.
When we come back, we've got the Dirt Alert with Elizabeth Reese.
Warning, here comes a cliche, ladies. Your smile is your calling card to the world.
Yeah, even though people can't see our smiles on the radio.
Well, they can sense we're smiling even during your dad jokes, Lex.
Dawn, I don't know if I would categorize that post-joke look as smiling.
Rude!
All jokes aside, your smile is so important, and if you don't like yours for whatever reason, it can be debilitating. It can really affect the quality of your life. And that's why we're so proud to represent Dr. Amy Hughes at Hughes Dental. Dr. Amy has her fantastic virtual smile consults. Here's how it works. You email Dr. Amy with your smile concerns. You can even upload a pic at hughes-dental.com. And Dr. Amy will send you back a private video message detailing an action plan. And here's one of the best things. There's no pressure to buy. She doesn't believe in that stuff. This is your year to change your smile. And yes, here's another cliche, change your life.
And she's the best at cosmetic dentistry. Don't you have a fun nickname for Dr. Amy, Jace?
I sure do. The Yoda of cosmetic dentistry.
Trust her, we do.
Very good Yoda there, Dawn. Contact Dr. Amy and take advantage of her virtual smile consults at hughes-dental.com. And don't forget, Dr. Amy can be your regular dentist, too. She's my regular dentist. Again, that's hughes-dental.com.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Elizabeth Reese.
Hi,
Jason and Kevin are both off. Hi, Elizabeth.
Happy Friday, everybody. Since Jason's
it's
not
Friday.
Here, I can say Friday. Yes,
Friday.
I can.
Yeah.
Friday. So this weekend will be Prince Philip's funeral. So it's going to be a big deal tomorrow in the UK. And a royal spokesman says we are dealing with a family funeral. And at its heart, it's still a family event. So Prince Philip will be surrounded by his wife of 73 years. Four
Ooh.
Children, eight grandchildren, and other close family members and friends at his funeral. And then he'll be laid to rest at St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle on Saturday, surrounded only by close family members and friends. They are keeping with a 30-person limit because of COVID guidelines. And so Queen Elizabeth had to make some difficult decisions about who could be there. The spokesman didn't say if Prince Philip was involved in choosing who he wanted at his funeral before his death. But I did hear that that his coffin will be carried in a Land Rover that he designed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pretty
That's
cool.
Pretty
and it's
cool.
like an electric one, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Something real fancy. And Dawn was saying he's going to be in a wool coffin.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a $165 wool coffin.
Wow.
And we were confused. I talked about this the other day, and somebody tweeted me what that looks like. And it's beautiful. It's just more earth-friendly.
Mm-hmm. Than wood.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it breaks down faster, I would assume.
Exactly. So, that is really neat. I didn't even know that existed.
Okay, I'm all about this.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in a wooden box for myself. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just creeps me out. You know why it does? Now, let's go real. Yeah,
why?
It's because when I was in like middle school or high school and I was home unsupervised all summer long, because, you know, that's what life was like when, you know, as I stress out about my child's summer. I think my parents never did this. They just let me run the neighborhood and told me to come home whenever.
Oh, yeah, our parents didn't care. Right.
Right. Nope. That being said, I watched Days of Our Lives that summer when Marlena was buried alive.
Oh, God. Yes.
By Stefano DiMera. Yeah. And she was stuck in there and they had a camera in her coffin.
Yes.
And she had one little tube to breathe. And then he would talk to her and torment her as she was stuck in there for the entire summer.
That's true.
And that was when I decided that cremation is a better option for me.
Yes.
Or yeah. I can probably get on board with this wool coffin situation.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Scarred me for life.
Yes. Just hearing about that scars me.
It's traumatizing. Did you watch that storyline, Dawn?
I sure did. I was a fan. I used to schedule my college classes around Days of Our Lives.
Yes. Yes.
So I watched for a very long time.
See, there you go.
Oh my gosh. Did anything like that happen on General Hospital? That's what I watched.
No, I think they were saving people on General Hospital.
Days of Our Lives
was much more sordid. Marlena died multiple times. When she was possessed by the devil, it was also really traumatizing for me too.
Yes.
And I have been afraid. And like, I always have somebody who could perform an exorcism on speed dial at any given moment.
Yeah.
Because you never
know. Give me a call. I know people.
Thank you, Dawn. I will. I'm glad.
Wow.
I will now add you to my favorites list in my book because of that knowledge.
Yes.
Trisha Yearwood talking about her marriage to Garth Brooks, saying it can be difficult at times. You know, they're very like, we love each other. We're so in love. Everything's so in love.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Garth says that more than she does. She says, we're both very independent people who run our own ships. And sometimes when two people are driving two big ships, it can be difficult.
Yes.
Thank you, Trisha, for speaking a little bit of truth.
Hashtag relatable.
Hashtag totally relatable. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's refreshing to hear that because, yes, you're right. You hear how great they are. They are relationship goals.
Sure.
But that's more realistic.
I know. It can't be perfect all the time.
Right.
John Corbett revealing he is part of the Sex and the City reboot.
Oh, Aiden.
Aiden is back. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to do the show.
Awesome. Have you met Aiden yet?
Okay, so I watched. So I am still watching, but I had a part of my life where I watched the last two seasons, I think, of Sex and the City, but I never had watched the first.
Oh.
So I do know who Aiden is.
It's a 10-episode HBO Max revival, so you can watch for him. I'm very happy about this.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Elizabeth. You can see Elizabeth on Twin Cities Live today at 3 on Channel 5 and Best to the Nest is her podcast at mytalk1071.com.
And we have coming up next Force Movie Reviews. Alexis and I will be reviewing King Kong.
Gosh, you guys slay us on Twitter. Thank you for your hilarious tweets today.
I haven't had time to look.
Oh, Dawn, wait till you see this one from, I just opened the picture up from Krista Starnes. Okay, we were talking at the top of the 8 about how my son thinks he's a dog.
Yes.
And he's been mimicking activities, things that our dogs do. And she posted a picture of her son. I just retweeted it. You could check it out. Lex in the Cities. Dawn at Dark. Her son is playing tug of war with one of those little dog toys.
The
dog has it in his mouth. And her son has the other end.
Oh my God. That's great.
Oh, so funny. You guys are the best, making this a great Friday. It's Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1. You're only going to hear two voices right now. Holly will be joining us later for our new assignment for our movie reviews, but Jason and Kenny both off today. But we still did our homework, Dawn.
Yes, we did. And we're going to talk about it, right?
Right now.
I can't believe you're making me do this.
Why do we have to talk about that?
Do I have to?
Forced movie reviews.
You forced me to do this.
Okay, here we go. I'm gonna cue the soundtrack, okay?
Okay.
Maybe.
Dramatic.
I mean,
1933's King Kong.
Whoa!
That soundtrack was on the whole time.
It was that music right there in different. I mean, this is 47 minutes of the Max Steiner soundtrack score. There is a full LP album if you are interested. I wonder how much that goes for on eBay. The whole 1933 soundtrack to King Kong, I bet it's expensive.
Well, especially if it's on a cassette or something.
Oh, my
God. You need to buy a player and everything.
I don't think they had cassettes in 1933, but I don't know if they reprinted it on cassette.
I'm just
maybe laser disc.
They could transfer things over. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Dawn, you go first. What did you think about King Kong?
Okay, let me get my notes out. The first thing I wrote is hashtag me too. It says, it starts off with Henry Weinstein? What's his name?
The main guy?
No, Harry. The guy now.
The guy
Weinstein.
Oh.
The creep.
The creepy guy. Oh, no. Let me go.
I can't believe. I wrote Henry, but I think it's Harry. Second.
I think it's Harry, too. Okay, keep going.
Harvey.
Oh, it's Harvey. H, close enough.
Okay, let me start over.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
Well, it starts
off... What about King Kong in 1933, Don? What'd you think?
Well, it starts off with Harvey Weinstein. I mean, Carl Denham. Oh. The director is super creepy.
He wanting
to make a picture. And he feels like it's a good idea to... He can't find any actresses that will go to this undisclosed island... to be the star of this. None of the agents will agree to this, okay?
Rightfully so.
He decides it's a good idea to go by a homeless shelter and just try to pick up some woman that's homeless to do this. But he looks at all of them, and they're all too homely for what he wants. So then he happens to steal a girl who is hungry off the street. And I said, this guy is hashtag me too.
At a fruit stand.
Yeah, she's trying
to
steal.
She's dazed and confused. You're right.
She's hungry. She's real pretty. I'm talking about Faye Ray. You know, her name is Anne in the movie. She ends up saying yes. And I'm like, this is like some weird Sharon Stone agreeing to do Basic Instinct. It just reminds me so much of all the Me Too movement and all the creepy things that go on in Hollywood with producers. Lying to women.
And he keeps everything like, on the down low. Like, they don't even know where they're going. All she knows is she's going on a ship.
She doesn't even know until she gets on the island. It's so terrible. Also, here are some of the other things that bothered me. Her future love interest, Jack, says, women on ships are a nuisance. Women can't help being a bother. I also have, is that a Latin guy playing an Asian man?
You know, I was wondering about that, too.
Because
I think it's
that
an Asian
is
playing an Asian.
Oh, you think so? Okay, because Hollywood is really known for with Native Americans and Asians having white people or other races play them. So
Blackface.
I was just keeping my eye out for that.
Yep.
Then once they get to the island, oh, my gosh, the depiction of natives are troubling. There are dinosaurs. I have so many notes. Oh, my God. There's a brontosaurus that tips over the raft. It's apparently super easy to just craft together a raft to hold 30 men.
They made that raft in about 0.5 seconds.
It's like, let's just get a raft together. Okay. Now a pterodactyl is strangling King Kong, and Jack rescues Anne as they escape. And it's a conveniently placed vine that he starts pulling back up. I love how once they get her back from the distress, they offer her booze. It's like, here, take a drink. I'm like, what?
This makes you feel better.
Like, that's the solution to everything. this is so crazy. One thing I wanted to bring up, I felt bad for King Kong. It's like a Rankin-Bass King Kong. You know, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like claymation King Kong that is just comical. My favorite thing is when they go from the claymation Faye Ray to when he sets her down on something, it turns into the real actress. But before that, it's a little claymation thing. I mean,
just flailing around.
Just for the terrible effects alone, you should watch this movie.
Yes.
And then I would like to also mention there are undertones, and there have been talked about for a very long time, that this was really a response to white men being afraid of black people not being enslaved anymore. So that's what the movie is about. It's about white men being afraid of black people.
Oh, have you ever heard that about this movie?
I did a little deep diving into it, and I did see that. Yes.
Yes, and maybe that's not right, but the symbolism is there, and it's really disturbing. And I really think that it's, when you look at the times right now and what's going on, I'm like, Holly is a genius.
Yeah.
You know?
Things haven't changed much.
That's right. I didn't give you much time left to give your review, but we'll get into it over the next break. And
yeah, let's take a break.
And get Holly on the phone. So
but before
can,
we do, yes. Before we do, because we're going to talk more King Kong, I want to tell you about something really cool that you could win. It's a micro one-room makeover. So there's a lot of prizes for this to make your
turn
house
up the music.
Great. Here we go. You ready? Dun, dun, dun. Lighting and accessories from Southern Lights. Painting by 360 Painting Minneapolis. Furniture from Putnam Farmhouse.
Whoa.
Flooring from Great Floors, Minnesota. There's more, Dawn.
Oh.
And blinds and interior design service from Interior Impressions.
Wow.
You could win all of that. All you need to do is get registered for rewards and log on to our app to enter to win. Make sure you click on the MyTalk Micro One Room Makeover.
MyTalk1071.com
rewards.
Yes, Holly Roberts and our new assignment and what she thinks and Alexis thought about King Kong. Coming up next on MyTalk.
King Kong, our forced movie review continues. The movie from 1933. It's Jason and Alexis in the morning on MyTalk 1071. Don and me this morning. I'm Alexis.
Yes.
Jason and Kenny off today.
Let's bring back the music.
Bring it back, girl. Yes. Oh, okay. So, yeah, you did a great job of going through it. You felt that
there's
yeah, there's so many notes. Agree with you about the whole idea, the Me Too, about women are a nuisance. That whole thing, the damsel in distress, the whole Beauty and the Beast theme that they were trying to get through on King Kong. I will bottom line this and say I liked it for a lot of reasons, too. I think for the time, for the gorilla, or the ape, the dinosaurs, how they did that. I hope that there's a behind-the-scenes special about how they did that, because for the time, yes, it looked goofy sometimes, but that was a pretty
entertained
job for that.
Don't get me wrong. I was entertained. I was just appalled at some of the hashtag Me Too moments in it.
Oh, but absolutely.
No, every time a new creature came on, the claymation brontosaurus or whatever it was, I was like, oh my God, now there's
what
is it? Is it a sea monster? What is that thing?
I thought it was Loch Ness at first. And
then you're like, it's a brontosaurus, whatever.
Yeah.
Huge snake, yes.
So all of that was pretty cool. I think ultimately I sympathize with King Kong because it shows how greedy humans are.
Yeah.
Now, the whole racial thing is another component. Skipper, when they first went on to the island, he saved the day because he at least took the time to try to figure out the language and communicate with the natives.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
There's no praise given to him. It's all to this filmmaker. And remember, they did all of this for a film, for human entertainment. Then capturing him and bringing him to New York City and selling tickets.
Oh, my God.
Just felt so bad. It's just how money-grubbing, how greedy. You came to his island.
Yeah, that's right.
There was no respect for not only the native culture, but also that's where he lives.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Right.
Why do we have to go and ruin everything?
Oh, my gosh. And then also, when you talk about all of the speculation that this is a racial movie, when you think about how we enslaved black people.
Right.
What did we do? We went somewhere and we just took people. And change that. I mean, it's just all over the place for me.
And for entertainment value, it's just. So, yeah, there's a lot of deep themes
here. There's a lot of deep things. And then there's a lot of funny things, like the close-ups on King Kong's face, the claymation Rankin Bass looking like.
It looks like his eyes like.
Snowman is so good.
And then Anne, her over dramatized. Oh, like at one point, it's like she can't walk. She's dragging, army crawling her dead legs. And then in the next moment, as they go down the grapevine and go into the water, all of a sudden she's a sprinter.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
She can run.
Here's one of my biggest
questions. Why didn't you
questions.
Run away before?
What? My biggest question through before the movie even started was, how are they going to get him on the boat? It so conveniently was like, come on, boys, let's get him on there. No idea. They're like, no. We'll just get some. And then
some chains.
Then they're in New York. I'm like, wait, hold on a minute. How did you do that? Did you just whip up another raft that's apparently so easy to do?
And just drag it behind the boat?
Did you just float him out there? How did you do it? Did you get a big net? Did you have, how did you lift this creature onto the boat? Did you just drag him the whole way through the water?
Great point, because there was barely enough room for the people
for the crew,
because they had to bring an extra crew. And then what skipper or anyone in a boat crew is going to take hundreds of men and then say, just get out in the water. I'm not going to tell you where we're going.
Right.
You're going to let a film director dictate your boat? I don't think so.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen.
No.
What?
Oh, God. That's what makes it great, because there's so many stupid things about it. But it was, I couldn't stop. I mean, I wasn't bored at all. I was entertained. I was horrified at some of the themes. I was just thinking too deep about what it meant.
Yeah, same. It's
but I really liked it.
Yeah, and then there's the love story too. That's another thing. He's known her for like 3 days. He's like, I love you.
Right.
Let's kiss. And then he's like, are you on deck? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm on deck. And you're like,
I'm on deck. Yeah.
Creepy.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Oh, but it's so dramatic. So much struggle. We watched HBO Max at it.
Yes, it's free on HBO Max.
So you can watch it there. And then now with all the new King Kong movies, you can see the original there.
MC has this huge expensive looking box set of the behind the scenes of the King Kong that was most, I don't know, 10 years ago or something.
Oh.
And it has all of these real cool things inside. He got it out and we looked at the authentic certification. It's signed by Peter Jackson. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes. I'm like, look, and now your sons are going to sell that on eBay when you pass away. So
probably. All right, it's at the top of the show.
We have Holly Roberts, and
oh,
she is maybe she has some things to say about King Kong and going to give us our new assignment for next week. Who cares if the boys aren't here? We want to know in advance. Hi, Holly.
Yes.
Hi. Hey. This is Ladies Morning. Here we are.
So what did you think of King Kong, and what was your rationale? Like, why did you assign it?
Well, I assigned you guys King Kong because Kong versus Godzilla or Godzilla versus Kong. That's a hot movie right now.
Oh, sure.
And I loved hearing you guys talk about King Kong. There's so much going on in that movie, and it has captured people's imaginations for almost a century. That movie came out in the early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Dawn, you were just talking about the Peter Jackson King Kong. Mm-hmm. I mean, the movie's been made over and over again. There's so much in that story that you can decide to tell,
yeah,
but people are still telling that story in 2021. So wanted you guys to go back and check out the original version.
Well, we thought you were a genius because I'm sure that you've heard over the years whether or not it was symbolism, you know, a racial symbolism as for, you know, white men being afraid after the slaves were freed. Of black people.
It is rich with metaphor.
Yes.
The movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and greedy humans just for entertainment, just ruining everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And freaky claymation.
Oh, God,
oh,
it's so great, though. Oh, my God. Every time they did a close-up on his face. And I don't know if you heard this, but I loved when they would transition from the claymation Faye Ray to the real actress. Because she would be clearly claymation. And then, oh, she's a real person now. But, oh, just great. Well, we have about a minute left here.
Yeah, Holly, okay.
Don't have any drum roll, but we'll just do one for you.
Okay, yep, pat your thighs, pat your table, because this week you guys are going to be watching Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, wow. That, I've never seen that.
Neither have I.
Okay, so this is directed by Frank Capra, and it stars Jimmy Stewart, Claude Rains, and Gene Arthur.
I love Claude Rains.
Ooh.
Cool. I can't wait. Thank you. This is going to be fun.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be fun. And it contains the classic scene with Jimmy Stewart doing the filibuster. So it's the little small town guy.
That's right.
Goes to Washington and takes on the corrupt political bosses.
Oh, ooh, good. I can't wait. Well, thank you so much.
Sounds relevant today, too.
Thank you so much for being gracious and assigning us these movies. We'll see you later on. Bye.
Bye, ladies. Bye.
Thanks, Holly. You're the best. Happy Friday. And happy Friday to all of you, too. You be you. Have a great day and great weekend. And we'll see you soon.